U.S. President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden share the stage in Nashville, Tennessee for the final debate before the November 3rd presidential election. A planned second debate didn't happen after the president was diagnosed with the coronavirus and refused to participate in a virtual format. The two candidates instead participated in town halls on separate TV stations. During tonight's 90-minute debate, Mr. Biden and President Trump will address the coronavirus pandemic, race relations, climate change, and leadership. New to this debate, a mute button, so that one candidate's mic will be muted when the other one is speaking. The first debate descended into squabbling and overtalk, with Mr. Biden eventually telling President Trump to shut up. The mute button move came as a result. Russian President Vladimir Putin said Thursday Moscow believed that nearly 5,000 people had been killed in fighting between Azerbaijan and ethnic Armenian forces over the Nagorno-Karabakh region. Putin told the Valdai Discussion Club that there are more than 2,000 casualties from each side. The death tolls reported by the two sides themselves are much lower. Putin also said the United States would help Russia broker a solution to the conflict. Kyrgyzstan's parliament voted on Thursday to suspend laws that would force fresh elections after a parliamentary vote held earlier this month was annulled and rescheduled for December. The Central Asian country has been embroiled in political crisis following the elections, which saw demonstrators free a populist politician who quickly became acting president. Sadr Japarov has consolidated power since his supporters flooded into the capital after the vote, and he effectively forced the president's resignation. He's angrily denied suggestions that he has organized crime backing him. This is VOA News. The United States on Thursday condemned what it called excessive use of force by the Nigerian military for firing on unarmed demonstrators. Amnesty International says at least 12 people were killed by the Nigerian army and police in a brutal crackdown on protesters Tuesday that drew international condemnation. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said in a statement, "We welcome an immediate investigation into any use of excessive force by members of the security forces." Nigeria's army has dubbed as fake news reports that soldiers opened fire on demonstrators. Police minister told the BBC that troops were not ordered to open fire. A cloud of sadness descended on the streets of central Dublin Thursday as Ireland became the first EU nation to return to a full coronavirus lockdown. Schools remain open, but otherwise for 6 weeks, all Irish citizens have been told to stay home with a strict 5-kilometer travel limit for exercise. Restaurants, bars, and pubs will be shuttered, and visits between different households are banned. Ireland has suffered over 1,800 deaths from COVID-19, and cases are rising in line with an upsurge across Europe, setting the stage for a winter of harsh restrictions. One citizen told AFP, "It's just that kind of cloud of sadness again that the city is abandoned." France on Thursday also extended the anti-COVID curfew in place in 9 cities to a large parts of the country, taking to 46 million the number of people forced to stay indoors at night. The new measures will take effect from midnight on Saturday, with the prime minister saying the coming months will be hard. Global financial giant Goldman Sachs will pay about $2.9 billion total to settle the massive corruption scandal involving its Malaysian subsidiary, government officials said Thursday. Goldman pled not guilty and agreed to a deferred prosecution with the U.S. Justice Department, which said the company will owe $2.3 billion in penalties plus $606 million forfeiture of gains. The company has paid or will pay authorities in Britain, Singapore, and Hong Kong, as well as the U.S. Federal Reserve, the SEC, and the U.S. Treasury. The European Parliament on Thursday awarded the Sakharov Prize for Human Rights to the movement opposing President Alexander Lukashenko in Belarus. The movement is led by the exiled Svetlana Tikhanovskaya. The choice is likely to meet with the disapproval of Russian President Vladimir Putin, who staunchly supports his embattled Belarusian counterpart. For more on these and other international stories, please visit our website at voanews.com. To your remote, I'm Laurel Bowman for VOA News.